And peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints in Christ, when it comes to the faith or to your faith, the lies of Satan are always in the adjectives and the adverbs. Our old Adam, your sinful flesh, hears adjectives and adverbs with regard to your faith and gets downright giddy. Adjectives like great faith, simple faith, true faith, or adverbs like really believe, or sincerely trust, or fully committed Christ follower. And the reason that you get giddy at adjectives and adverbs is that it gives you the hope of actually measuring your faith. And when we start measuring our faith with adjectives and adverbs, two things are bound to happen. First, it doesn't take long before the measurement game becomes the comparison game. Is my faith great, and is it greater than yours? Is my faith simple, and is it simpler than yours? Is my faith true, and is it truer than yours? Do I really believe, and do I do it more than you? Do I sincerely trust, and am I more sincere than you? Am I a fully committed Christ follower, and am I more fully committed than you? Well, how are we to tell? That's the second thing that's bound to happen. In order to make the comparisons, you see, we must measure something, right? My behavior, my feelings and emotions, the fervency of my prayer, the power of my resolve, my mental capacity, the length of my daily quiet time, my knowledge of the Bible, the eloquence of my prayers, how many times I shared Jesus with somebody this week. Yes, we will use anything except Christ and his promises to determine how great our faith is, as well as someone else's. And yet in our text this morning, it is Christ alone, his person and his work, that is enough. We see this woman in the text making this plea for Christ's mercy. Her daughter is oppressed by a demon, and she wants Jesus to help her. And the climax of the story is Jesus making this remarkable statement, and he uses an adjective. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire. And your old Adam, he knows exactly how to treat this text. This text, preaches your old Adam, is all about you. If you would just have great faith. True faith, sincere faith, unrelenting faith, persevering faith, strong faith, simple faith, like this woman. Well, then make a request to Christ for something, and he will take note of your remarkable faith and grant your request. So this morning, preaches your old Adam, we're going to learn the seven steps that you can take in order to have great faith. But our text this morning is not interested in showing us how to make our faith great. This story from Matthew's gospel does not ask us to have faith in our faith. No, instead we learn that great faith is made so only because of its object. That is to say, the only way to know if faith is great or true is to look at the object to which that faith clings. So, let us defrock the false preacher that is our old Adam, kick him out of the pulpit, and let's let Christ, through his word, show us what makes faith great. So Jesus has entered Gentile territory in the district of Tyre and Sidon, and this woman comes to him crying for help on behalf of her daughter. And this is actually remarkable because she is Gentile. She is Canaanite. And she is a woman. Three strikes against her that make her culturally unfit, really, to be interacting with Jesus. And it's the response of Jesus also that raises so many questions for readers of this story. We are told quite a bit in the Gospels that people with all kinds of afflictions would come to Jesus requesting his help, and he would actually heal them. This is what we come to expect from Christ. But then here comes this woman with a request to help her daughter, nonetheless. And what does Jesus say? Nothing. Doesn't give her the time of day. I mean, come on, Jesus. Suffer the little children, right? Well, apparently she's pretty persistent. It's her daughter's well-being at stake, after all. So the disciples, they pipe in and they say to the Lord that he should send her away, presumably by just giving her what she's asking for. Instead, Jesus says, I've come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is to say, she's a Gentile Canaanite. I have not come for her, but for Israel. That does not deter her. She asks again, Lord, help me. And Jesus surprises us again. Now he's finally going to speak to her. He's not just going to ignore her or talk about her, but rather to her. And we know what's coming next, right? Jesus will finally give in because of her great faith, right? Wrong. Instead, he resorts to name-calling. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? Yes, the Lord of the universe, the loving, gentle, come-for-everybody Jesus, has just called a Gentile Canaanite woman a dog and said that what he has is not hers. Now, your old Adam would ascend the pulpit again here, and he would ask you to put yourself in her place. Your old Adam would probably make some kind of speculative point that Jesus here is probably just testing her faith, right? He's putting her in a position where she can either sink or swim, receive her blessing or not, but it's all up to her. And look, she doesn't give up. So, neither should you. When trials come, well, that's just an opportunity to believe harder, to trust more. To give your faith a real workout and make it truly great. To prove to God that you actually do deserve what he has to give because of your great faith. If you've ever been on that navel-gazing rat wheel, then you know how despairing it is. Full of uncertainty, trying to deal with your sin yourself, where your view of Christ is as a constant tester of your faith, but you never actually know if you ever pass the test. And that's exactly where Satan wants you. Which is why we have to leave all psychological speculation out of this text and simply read it for what it is, because it's in this woman's response that we see the text's beauty and we see what makes faith great. Because remarkably, she doesn't actually argue with Jesus. Quite the contrary, she actually agrees with him. Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, and she says, Amen. Yes, Lord. For the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You see, there's no argument here. On her part, she hears the word of Christ and she simply says amen to it. She doesn't take offense to Christ's apparent insult. She does not rise up in angry entitlement saying, how dare you call me a dog? I don't want your help anyway if that's how you're going to treat me. She doesn't even respond and then say, see how great my faith is? Rather, her faith consists simply in this. That she knows who Jesus, the Son of David, is, and she knows that what she requests from him, she does not deserve. Far from being a request in entitlement because of her great faith, she makes a request out of nothing but despairing trust. She needs help, and she knows that Jesus can give it, so she asks. And she knows that even the crumbs are enough for no other reason than that they come from his hand. Woman, great is your faith. Not so much a commendation, but rather a promise. A promise that is given to you as well. You see, your faith is great. Not in the fact that it is yours, not in the fact that you try so hard to strengthen it, not in the fact that you never struggle in your faith, not because of anything having to do with you. No, your faith is great only because of its object, who is also its source. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins. Your faith is great because it has been given to you by the Master. Given to you as the costliest gift, costing the very blood of Christ, and yet for you, it is simply that, a gift that you pay nothing for. You see, this is what sets the Christian faith apart from all others, that our faith does not create its own object. We do not take the bumper sticker's advice and simply believe for the sake of believing. Faith is not something vague and mystical floating up in the clouds that we try to apprehend and figure out. It's not something warm and fuzzy inside of us that we have to figure out in our heart and our mind. Faith is not a tool that we use to clamber up to God. Rather, faith is trust that God has clambered down to you, that he is nailed to a tree for you and for a world full of dogs like us. Dogs who don't even deserve the crumbs of the Master, and yet he freely gives them. And he gives through them so much more than we could ever imagine. Forgiveness, life, and salvation, and those things may seem small to our earthly eyes, they may seem insignificant, and the way that that promise is delivered is not flashy or eye-catching, it's water, word, it's bread and wine, and yet the promise remains that through these things you are shown who Jesus, the Son of David, is, and you are shown that he is enough. Your faith is great. And of course it is, for it has been given you by Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.